America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special. We've got another one coming up next week. And, of course, a lot of live draft coverage because the Royals play in the afternoon. Makes it perfect right here on 610 Sports Radio, the home of the Kansas City Chiefs and Kansas City Royals. Joining us now from CBS Sports, has his latest mock draft out now. We like bringing him on. He came on last year with us as well. His name's Josh Edwards from CBS Sports Radio. Good evening, Josh. Josh, are you there, my friend?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I can hear you now as well. What's going on, my friend? You get another mock that just came out in perfect time, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we've done one every Thursday for me specifically dating back to September. So looking forward to these next couple of weeks. Next week is a 7-round mock draft, my first and only 7-round of the process. And then we'll have the final one the week after.
That's some definite work. You have quarterbacks going the first four picks in the draft, with Caleb Williams, of course, going first, Drake May second, Jaden Daniels third, J.J. McCarthy fourth to the Vikings. You're a firm believer in McCarthy to the Vikings. I am too. Thinking about trade partners for the Chiefs in the first round, the Vikings I have to kind of rule out because I do think they're going to take those picks and flip up and get a quarterback.
Yeah, I think it was pretty clear what their intentions were once Kirk Cousins signed with Atlanta. Acquiring that second first-round pick from Houston really set the table for a bigger move up the board. We saw the same thing from Philadelphia. I believe it was in 2016 maybe, when they moved up the board for Carson Wentz. They first made a move, I believe, to like number 8 overall. And then Tate made that second leap to number 2 overall, where they ultimately took Wentz. So there is some precedent here, and I think at the end of the day, they're going to be very intrigued by J.J. McCarthy just because of what he does at the position. I think he's a Kevin O'Connell-type quarterback where he's going to be able to operate on time. He's accurate with the football, everything that you really want from the future at the quarterback position.
One of the things that I think is really interesting about your mock is you've got Malik Nabers being taken by the Chargers at 5th overall, and then at 6th overall, Marvin Harrison Jr. being taken by the Giants. There has been this debate about who the better of the two receivers is lately. For a while, it was pretty much foregone conclusion that it was Harrison Jr. What is it about Malik Nabers that you think will get him taken earlier than Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Well, full transparency, I do have Marvin Harrison Jr. as my top-rated wide receiver and actually top-rated prospect overall. I believe Nabers is third, so really talented class at the wide receiver position. I think it all comes down to team fit and what each team is individually trying to accomplish at the wide receiver position. Chargers coming off last year, they added Quentin Johnston, who was obviously disappointing in his rookie season, but I can understand them saying, hey, you know, we've got this bigger body. Let's give him a little bit more time to see if he develops into something more. And then we'll add a more diverse skill set in a Malik Nabers because I do think he's twitchier in space, more dynamic after the catch. Just gives you a little bit more versatility at the position. So that's why I ultimately landed there, whereas, a team like the Giants – Beggars can't be choosers. You know, they've been looking for that number one wide receiver since Odell Beckham Jr. was traded. But I think Marvin Harrison Jr. would be a good complement to what they already have on the roster as well. So it's kind of a win-win situation for both parties, getting one of those top wide receivers. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Chargers favored Neighbors a little bit more, just given his more well-rounded skill set.
Talking to Josh Edwards from CBSSports.com. Now, a mock that you did previously was Kool-Aid McKinstry, I do believe. Was that right? You did have Kool-Aid, the corner from Alabama, in your last mock before this one? But you switched to Jalen Polk, the second best receiver at Washington behind Odunze, just ahead of Jalen McMillan, a former Texas Tech guy, which would fit in well with his quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. But Jalen Polk, not a lot of people have gone Jalen in the first round. Obviously, Rashee Rice's situation's out there. We don't know what's going to happen with that situation. Obviously, the NFL will probably pop him in a situation. The Chiefs led the NFL in drops, so wide receiver is what they need in this point. Why did you decide on Jalen Polk in this situation?
Well, I think he's a name that is not getting enough attention at this stage of the process. What I wanted to do was put some new names out there that maybe people weren't considering at this stage, but are very, very, potentially going in the first round or early in the second round. I did the same thing with Marshawn Neyland, a pass rusher from Western Michigan a week ago. So just wanted to put some new names out there. I think Polk is a name that a lot of people are not talking about enough at this stage of the process. With 6'1", 200 pounds, I think it was a 4.52 40-yard dash. So, he ran fast enough, but when you watch him play, he does a great job tracking the football, soft but strong hands, capable of making plays in traffic, really well-rounded player. What I really love about his game and really that Washington wide receiver room in general was his willingness to block. I think that says a lot about your mentality as a wide receiver when you show that you're willing to do the extra work as a blocker for your teammates, because at the end of the day, you're blocking for your teammates and your teammates are blocking for you. So that shows his overall commitment to his teammates, his team. And for me, I think with his skill set, he's somebody that probably deserves that top 50 consideration and maybe is somebody that we're talking about could potentially get into round one.
Another thing I noticed was the big trend in a lot of mocks now is trying to have the Bills move up to be more aggressive at getting a wide receiver, and you've got them staying pat at 28. How likely do you think it is that they stay pat at 28, or do you think they're going to be very aggressive at trying to move up?
I think that is a possibility. Just going back to last year, what they did with Dalton Kincaid to move up a little bit to get him, and I think Kansas City was an inspiration for that pick, seeing what they've been able to do with Travis Kelce to this point, wanting that type of player for themselves. So I could see Buffalo being aggressive at the position if it worked out the way that they desired. The problem is I think that there's a lot of teams that are in the wide receiver mix, and I don't see Odunze getting out of the top 10, all three wide receivers getting out of the top 10. That's Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Neighbors, and Rome Odunze. I don't see them being available really after number 9 overall. To the Bears. So when you're talking about making a move for one of those players, now you're talking about multiple first-round picks plus additional draft capital. It's a lot to give up to make the move up the board for a wide receiver. And then once you get past those three players, you're talking about Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, A.D. Mitchell from Texas, those couple of guys that I think have that X potential at the next level. But even then, to get a Brian Thomas Jr., you're talking about maybe getting, in the teens, middle of the first round, somewhere in there. So it's not a situation where you can just snap your fingers and say, I'm going to make this happen, because one, you have to have a willing trade partner, and two, it's going to require a lot of capital to make the type of move that they would need to in order to get in position to take one of those top four guys.
And one thing too, you had six receivers going in the first round. That's probably right there. Right there in the zone. 6.5 DraftKings had for the over-under, so this clearly be the under. The record is 7 in 2004.
Could it be a possibility where a run starts and you think you could get maybe 7 to 8 wide receivers in the first round? Or is we looking at about 6 being that number and then the rest coming in that second round, which 13 is the record for the first two rounds?
Well, Vegas is really good at what they do. They typically have some insight as to what teams are thinking or at least what betting markets are projecting. So for 6.5, you certainly think that 6, maybe 7 are going there in the first round. And there's a few names that are possibilities that are being discussed in NFL circles, one of them being Oregon's Troy Franklin has been getting a lot of love and, you know, not so much in the media, but somebody that the NFL teams like quite a bit. Ladd McConkey from Georgia is a name that continues to rise. I mean, he's pretty steady at this point. I think everybody figures he'll go late round one, early round two, somewhere in that mix. So,
Josh, we did 41 mock drafts we looked at. He had 8. So he was the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're already talking about a couple of guys that could be in that equation. Throw in Jalen Polk. You know, there's 3. And then you've got the 4 that I've already discussed, plus A.D. Mitchell. So there's possibly 8. And really, there's, you know, there could be a surprise in there as well. There's no telling how somebody feels about a Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky. But what you mentioned there is really important, and it's about where the run on the position happens. Because, yes, we think those 3 wide receivers are going to go top 10. Where do those next couple of guys come off the board? Because if it doesn't happen until, you know, 18, early 20s, somewhere in there, then suddenly you've got teams in the back half of the first round saying, you know, maybe we don't have to be so desperate to get the player that we want. And then they stay put and a run doesn't happen until early round 2 or something of that nature, because there are a lot of teams in the bottom half of the first round that would really like to have an offensive lineman. So once you, if you were to have that run happen earlier, like, you know, in the early teens or the middle of the first round, then I think you're very likely to get that 7th wide receiver.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
But some teams may look at the position and say, we're very capable of getting a contributor on day 2, you know, whether that's in the 2nd or the 3rd round, so let's take another premium position. So that's really what it all comes down to, is kind of an in-the-moment type decision where if that run is happening middle of the first round, then I think we're going to see 7 wide receivers. But if we don't see that 4th name come off the board until 18 or later, I think under is probably the play there.
So there's a lot of debate about who that number 2 quarterback is, like who is like legitimately like the 2nd best quarterback. A lot of people think it's Jaden Daniels. A lot of people think it's Drake May. A lot of people think it's JJ McCarthy. if you had to say behind Caleb Williams, who is that like true number two quarterback there? Who do you think that is?
For me, it is Drake May from North Carolina. That's kind of where I've settled in the process. I've actually got J.J. McCarthy as my third quarterback in the class. And really, it's just me learning from my own process over the past couple of years. I'm trying to favor an ability to make plays in the pocket because I think first and foremost, that's what you have to do with the quarterback position. And I just feel more comfortable with May and McCarthy working in the pocket, you know, sensing pressure, maneuvering to avoid that pressure. And then if the play breaks down and they have to get outside, they have enough foot quickness to be able to accomplish that. And they've got the accuracy on the run. May had some questionable decisions this year. He didn't quite take the leap that we had wanted, but he looks like the typical NFL quarterback that has found success in the NFL. And I think he does enough working from the pocket, his ability to make every throw on the field. That's why for me personally, he has kind of settled into that second quarterback spot for me.
Josh, final question for you. You've kind of shied away from this, and I see a lot of the people putting right tackles essentially for the Chiefs at 32 or not 34 inch arms, which Andy Reid basically requires. That's kind of scary because picking at the end of the first round to me is a leap with the right tackle when they need a left tackle. I don't know where you feel on it, but Jordan Morgan, I think, is going to be a guard in the NFL. Graham Barton, we already talked about, could be a center in the National Football League. To me, it is scary to draft because I don't see – I know Kingsley is a pick. It's a true left tackle that people could get. But it seems like a 32 is kind of a reach at getting a left tackle.
It's very possible, and that's kind of the issue that I've found working through these mock draft scenarios, because if it were me personally, left tackle would probably be the highest priority if I were the Chiefs. The issue that I come across every single week working through these scenarios is that the same is true of Dallas. The same is true of Green Bay. Both teams are currently ahead of Kansas City. So, you know, somebody's going to have to be aggressive if they want to be in that conversation, because I'm not even sure a guy gets to Dallas. And then they're certainly not going to get to Green Bay or Kansas City. So you might have to be a little bit aggressive to go get an Amarius Mims, who, despite his lack of availability at times, has as much potential as any other offensive tackle in this draft class. Kingsley Suamataia, I mean, I'm higher on him than most, so I could see him even being gone before Kansas City's pick. But really, the pickings do get slim if you're not going to be aggressive and move up the board a little bit, because, like I said, there's a lot of teams sitting there in the back half of the first round that have a need at that position.
I've even seen Kingsley going 25th to the Green Bay Packers. Josh Edwards, you're one of the best out there. We love having you on. Follow on Twitter at EdwardsCBS. Josh Edwards is going to do his 7-round mock on CBSSports.com. Thanks a million, Josh. We enjoyed your work.
Of course. I appreciate that.
Thanks, sir.
Take care. There's Josh Edwards there. When we come back, we'll react to Josh Edwards, and we'll have Chad Ryder at 7:30, one of the masters of the mock from NFL.com.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday morning starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
One more time.
And welcome back to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero, the Character Concerns crew. That was Josh Edwards from CBS, who's going to be putting out a 7th-round mock. He does his homework. I like it. He's also a Kentucky writer, too. So he's been kind of busy in their coaching search, even though he's kind of on the football end. But
That's tough.
A lot of Kentucky people are actually happy that Cal left. So
yeah, I mean, he's pushing that to the side because he's more on the football side of Kentucky. Yeah. Mark Stoops in that direction. He switches from corner to, which I don't understand, switches from corner to wide receiver. You are not wild about the wide receiver selection, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, look, if the Chiefs wanted to go Jalen Polk round two, I'd be all right with it.
Yeah, I think he's a round two guy.
I just don't think I would take him round one, and I don't think he would be my top receiver option. Now, if the Chiefs wanted to double up, and they wanted to go receiver round one, receiver round two, and Jalen Polk is their second receiver taken. Oh, yeah, I'm about that. I'm cool with that because I like Polk. I just don't think that Polk gives you the skill set that you need.
He had a problem with the drops there for a little bit.
He had a problem with drops, and I just, like I said, I just don't think he gives you the kind of downfield threat that you need from whoever you take at wide receiver in this year's draft. And I think the curious thing, like with his mock, Xavier Worthy didn't go in first round.
He didn't. The one thing with Jalen Polk is kind of struggles to get off that press corners.
Right.
Struggles in that situation. Right. So we'll see where he goes.
And teams are, if they see the tape and they see you struggle to get off the line when they press you, well, I guarantee you they're going to press the hell out of him. Yeah. So it's like that concerns me.
Yeah, and the speed wasn't really there.
It wasn't there
as well.
And like I said, if I'm drafting a receiver, I'm getting a deep threat. I'm not getting the guy that struggles to get off the line and gets press.
And it comes with one of those deals where you have to look at the team and think, okay, how many first-round corners are you really looking at that played Washington this year?
Right.
Rumo Odunze, how much attention did he take?
Yeah.
And then Jalen Polk ate because
Polk
of it.
Polk was like, what, Polk, I mean, because they also had McMillan, too.
Who
though
got
McMillan
hurt,
he missed some games, but still. Like,
he was going to be the first-round guy
right.
as well, Jalen McMillan.
Right.
So three receivers there, but this is a common thing. Because you look at Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, that had Jatavion Sanders, by the way, that tied in, mixed in with that group. Florida State was looking Keon Coleman. You had Johnny Wilson. You had Gene Bell, the tight end. So you had a lot of situations where you didn't have just one, but you had two and sometimes three. And that's always not a problem. Sometimes it can be. Sometimes it's not. I reference Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson that were on the same team at LSU, and they both turned out to be good pros, probably top five receivers, both of them.
And I think you can tell when that's the case. Like, I think Mitchell and Worthy, you could tell, like, it wasn't one who was drawing the attention away so the other one could thrive. They were both killing it. They were both, in their own right, great receivers.
Big reasons why Texas is in the playoffs.
And, like, it's funny because, like, we talked a lot during the season about Emeka Egbuka. Wide receiver for Ohio State, who played opposite Marvin Harrison Jr.
He was supposed to be the dude.
He was supposed to be the dude. He was supposed to be a first-round wide receiver. Now you're not even seeing him in the second round. He's dropped third, fourth round now. And it's because when you watch that tape, and we talked about it all year long, about, you know, when you're the second guy, if you don't pop out on tape as the second guy, something's wrong. And he did not pop out on tape. He disappeared in a ton of games. And now you're starting to see the scouts realize that. And he's been falling down draft boards. Now he's probably a late second day, early third day pick. And I thought it was pretty obvious after the first month of the season that that was where it was going to be for him.
Other than that, with Josh Edwards, clearly we'll have to wait till the 7-round mock comes out. But we'll get to our rounds 4 through 7 selections in a minute or later on through the show, but we'll bring on this national perspective because I'm curious. And remember, 41 mock drafts looked at, reputable sources. 8 of them had Ladd McConkey. They had him going 1, but ahead of that second tier, second or third tier, whatever you want to consider, Ladd McConkey. But
he's third tier.
But he's really started to get there in picking 32nd. Because typically teams have 20, 21 first-round grades on players. They hear McDuffie. They saw McDuffie kind of slide. That's why they moved up to get him at corner because they had a first-round grade on him. Last year was different. The talent wasn't there. It's 12 to 15 guys. So if you're picking 32, you're also maybe picking 38 or 39. It's the end of the second round, which could be attractive for a team wanting to get a quarterback. And couldn't you trade back and get a 33rd? Because right now they're picking dead last in the second round. Could they get another second round pick and get that receiver? If you value receivers at 32, 33 through 38, 39, that you could probably get at 32, sometimes you got to make that difficult choice.
And that one's tough just because, you know, you move back. What happens if someone jumps ahead of you and goes and gets the guy you were looking for?
Buffalo's a team to watch.
Yeah, so I'm saying. And that's why, like, if you're the Chiefs, I don't know how much risk you're going to take with just letting a guy fall to you on the board because you've won 2 straight Super Bowls. They're coming for your head. That means that you have to be aggressive and you have to maneuver the draft to play defense against everyone else in the league because, especially in the AFC, all these teams are coming for your dome and it's just not something you can sit around and just wait and hope that some guy falls to you. You got to be aggressive because Buffalo's going to be aggressive, I think. I do think that Buffalo is going to trade up and probably trade up pretty high. They might make a trade a la the Chiefs in 2017 to go up and get Mahomes. I think they're going to be aggressive in going and getting a guy because Buffalo wants to compete. They don't want to waste a year. Do you think Sean McDermott wants to waste a year? No, he doesn't.
He can't.
He can't. He can't afford to. He's going to get fired if they regress any more than they have. So, yeah, like they're going to be very aggressive in trying to win. And so if you're the Chiefs, you can't just be like, hey, we're the champs. We're good. You need to be aggressive, too, because this is a league where the top teams fall down very quickly. And you cannot take this run for granted.
And by the way, it looks like Ibuka will go back to Ohio State.
He saw him falling, so now he's going back. That's a better choice than getting drafted on the third day.
He wasn't at the combine.
That's a good choice. I think that's a great choice. Now he gets a year to get showcased.
Be the guy.
And be the guy and prove that he belongs in the first round. Because we both talked about this pretty extensively late in the season. Emeka Egbuka was still getting mocked in the first round, and I think we both agreed he's not a first-round wide receiver, especially when you watch the tape, and a lot of times he's just Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So that's a good choice by Emeka Egbuka, and I hope that this coming season he shows out and earns himself a first round spot.
Coming up next, Chad Ryder from NFL.com does great work there. He has the Chiefs selecting Xavier Worthy and trading up to do it. We'll find out why next.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday mornings starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. Follow The Drive on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to 610 Sports Radio Draft Special. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero, Character Concerns crew. But the real pleasure here, the master of the mock, in my opinion, one of the leaders of the industry. His name's Chad Ryder from NFL Network. He's an NFL Network analyst. You can catch his latest five-round mock draft, NFL.com. NFL Network, of course, providing live coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit, April 25th through the 27th. We are 2 weeks from the night from round one. Chad, are you ready, man? You ready?
I am more than ready, man. Let's go. Let's fast forward 2 weeks and just get this thing on the road, show on the road here.
Well, you put these mocks out. You put a lot of time in doing it, and you think about players and what the teams need. Obviously, the Chiefs led the NFL in drops this year. Obviously, you have the Rashee Rice issue going on down in Dallas. You had the Chiefs trading up for Xavier Worthy at 17 with the Jaguars. That could be a potential trade partner for the Chiefs, but you have them going ahead of Brian Thomas and A.D. Mitchell. You really like yourself some Xavier Worthy, which, by the way, a lot of people do. I looked at 41 mocks, and he was second as far as people selecting Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's such a great fit for the team, and a lot of people are underselling him right now as a prospect, and I think the Chiefs are done waiting. I think I don't remember who said it, but they're not going to wait around this year and figure out if they can get a guy on the cheap. You know, they already went and got Hollywood Brown, which is nice, but Worthy's a real star in that offense. And I think he's a missing piece for them that they're going to be aggressive and go get.
One of the things that I thought was really interesting is you had them trade up with the Jags at 17, take Worthy, and then after that you've got the Bengals taking Brian Thomas Jr. there. A lot of us here in Kansas City are really, it's kind of a battle between Worthy, Brian Thomas Jr., and A.D. Mitchell. Where do you think the fit is with Xavier Worthy is better with the Chiefs than with the other two guys?
Well, if you looked at the way they use Tyreek Hill, if you look at the way they use a lot of the smaller, faster receivers, Brian Thomas, if they want a guy like Marquez Valdes-Scantling, more like him, a more talented version, that would be Brian Thomas. And if they decide to go that way, I don't blame them.
But I think Worthy's a special player after the catch. And I think that is the piece that they really have missed since Tyreek Hill has been gone. So that's why I think that's a better fit for them. But again, Brian Thomas would be an excellent pick too. He's going to be a very good NFL receiver. But I just think for Kansas City in particular, and look, teams are the Colts, the Eagles, the Vikings. I mean, a lot of teams are very interested in Xavier Worthy, and it wouldn't shock me at all. If you remember, the Detroit went up from 32 to 12 to get Jameson Williams. And I think Worthy is a similar prospect. So, you know, they may have to go to 16, for example, with Seattle and go get him too. It's going to be an interesting night.
Well, DeSean Jackson was kind of an undersized guy in Philadelphia, obviously, there with Andy Reid. Xavier Worthy is interesting to me because, yeah, he's a lot like Hollywood Brown. They were very similar weights at the combine. But I think that's a one-year deal. I think Hollywood Brown's 1 year, then he gets the big contract and moves on, where Xavier Worthy could fit in. Now, I have defended Xavier Worthy. We had him in our first mock earlier this year with the Chiefs. I know the 4-2-1 speed, and people are like, don't be enamored by the speed. But I look at production. I look at the way he played. I looked at the 27 touchdowns he had at Texas. He had the 1,000-yard year, almost 1,000 yards in his freshman year. Had a punt return touchdown as well. But the guy runs routes, the guy catches, and he's a speed demon down the field. To me, Xavier Worthy is so much more than just 4-2-1 speed.
Yeah, again, he is and the speed is a key, but he is a productive player, and people forget that. And Texas really, you know, they really spread the ball around quite a bit, and they ran the ball a lot. Obviously, you got guys like Bijan and Jonathan Brooks and all that too. So, you know, he wasn't going to lead the country in receptions or even receiving yards. But when given the opportunity, and Hollywood Brown was has not been the most productive player over the last few years either. I mean, he's not. They hope they can get the best out of him. But in terms of a long-term situation, I like the Worthy pick a little bit more. And A.D. Mitchell, I don't think is a first-round pick. Probably similar to George Pickens a couple of years ago. He'll probably be more in the mid-second. So it's really between Thomas and Worthy, I think.
I think the biggest debate that we've kind of seen with the draft is who the number two quarterback is behind Caleb Williams. A lot of people think it's Jaden Daniels. A lot of people are on Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy's starting to make some headway there as well. Who you had Jaden Daniels going number two overall on your mock. Do you think he is the second best quarterback, or do you think it's more of a fit thing with the Commanders?
You know, it's still up in the air. I mean, to be honest, in my seven round mock that will come out next week, I may end up putting J.J. McCarthy there. And the reason I say that, one reason, is that if you think about where Adam Peters came from, the general manager of the Commanders, he came from San Francisco. And he saw what Brock Purdy did. And if one of these guys at the top reminds him of Brock Purdy, it's going to be J.J. McCarthy. So that's one aspect they can go at it. Now, Daniels will also be a nice fit in the system with Cliff Kingsbury. I think he would appreciate the quick delivery and the dual threat aspect. Certainly, he liked Kyler Murray when he was at Arizona. They made that move for him. And then Drake May, look, all three of these guys have their pros and cons, and you could talk yourself into any of them in that two spot. And then I think that's the key to the whole draft. Like the Commanders not only are going to set their future, their direction of their future, but also they're going to affect the futures of the Patriots and whoever ends up taking the other quarterback in there. And so it's really wide open at that spot.
Brock Bowers is a guy that I really like. It's almost the perfect fit for the Chiefs, and I don't see him sliding. I know he's been down there working out with Patrick Mahomes, catching footballs down there. I don't see him slipping. You had him going number 10 to the Jets. I think the Jets or the Broncos will grab him before the Bengals have a chance. I think the Bengals would definitely want Brock Bowers as well. Is there anybody like a Bowers that you could see sliding in this draft that we don't think they're going to slide, but somebody inevitably only slides?
Yeah, I mean, I think typically an edge rusher, Laiatu Latu is one guy that probably go later than a lot of people think, just because of the neck injury and all that. And it's possible one or two of these tackles don't quite go as high as people think. Olufoshanu, for example, from Penn State, could go in the 2021 range because he's raw, not as dominating as you would like, and not as athletic as you'd like. And I think he's one of these kind of guys that maybe drops down a little bit. Still could be really, a solid player. But and then Fuaga from Oregon State, a lot of people, you can see him going early, but because he's kind of a guard, right tackle kind of guy, he may end up going in the 20s as well. So those are a couple of guys that I think maybe won't go as high as people think.
As far as there's kind of been like these crazy proposed trade offers in regards to like Kyler Murray and him potentially being offloaded to a team like, let's say, the Vikings. Where are you as far as the likelihood that the Cardinals could make a move to get rid of Kyler Murray, get rid of that contract, and take one of these younger quarterbacks there at fourth overall?
I'll believe it when I see it. I think they're still pretty invested in him. And honestly, even the fourth quarterback of this class is no sure thing. Now, if any team would do it, we've seen, I mean, it's different administration now, but, we've seen the Cardinals pick back-to-back first-round quarterbacks. But I think it's kind of a new thing. I think they stick with Murray yet. And try to build around him, get the receiver, continue to build the offensive line, and really build around him for the next couple of years and see what he can do.
Chad, when you think about this draft in Detroit, what are we going to know it for? Is this going to be trade crazy? I mean, we just the tip of the iceberg here with teams making moves and jockeying for positions. Is this going to be an all-out trade first round?
I'm preparing the 7-round mock, and I'm sort of going the opposite. I think there'll be some, but sometimes the trades just don't happen. The more you hear about teams like Arizona and the Chargers and all these other teams wanting to move, but they don't make those moves in advance, like these moves have been happening in advance quite regularly the last few years, the more you hear about it and nothing happens, it could mean that very few happen. So I think it may actually happen. If you remember the Tua and Herbert, and that trade, all those quarterbacks were there, but nobody made any moves to get them. They just let them kind of fall in line. So I might go that direction in the final mock and just say, hey, teams are willing to wait it out and see what happens, and then have a little more action in the middle and late part of the first round, trying to get those receivers or offensive linemen or the couple of edge rushers that are of value.
Chad, we always enjoy your work. Always enjoy when you join our program during the draft. It's at Chad_Reuter. That's Reuter. It's Reuter. Looks like Reuter, but it's Reuter. Reuter. Yeah. He's an NFL Network analyst. Of course, NFL Network has coverage of the draft, the whole thing, April 25th through 27th. Chad, always enjoy talking to you. I can't wait for the 7-round mock to see where you're going to go, but always enjoy your work, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me on.
There you go, Chad Reuter, right there. We'll discuss Chad Reuter. Look at that. I do have a couple quarterback questions I want to bring up to you, Chris, and get your opinion. We'll do that next.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday mornings starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
If you're having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got the rap patrol on the patrol.
And welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris and Osiris, the 610 Sports Radio Draft Special. Be doing it again next Thursday. Same time, 6-9, be a week closer. 1 week from the draft or 2 weeks from the draft right now. So it'll be 1 week then, and of course, a lot of live draft coverage, including 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Party at the Landing in Liberty on Thursday, April 25th, brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. I encourage people to fill out their draft pick sheets there. Winner will receive $610 plus autographed Chiefs merchandise. All the 610 staff will be in attendance. Chris and I and the Character Concerns crew will be doing the broadcast for this. And the way the NFL draft works, you get 10 minutes to make your selection in the first round. And then it starts being different from there. The second and third rounds on Friday. Rounds 4-7 on Saturday. Teams get 7 minutes to make picks in the second round. 5 minutes for regular or compensatory picks in rounds 3-6. 4 minutes in round 7 where the Chiefs pick 221 in the seventh round. Their first pick in the seventh round. All right, quarterbacks, Chris. You know someone's going to fail. Someone always fails at quarterback. It just happens. I mean, you look back at that 2020 draft class with quarterbacks and maybe Trevor Lawrence, maybe.
Maybe.
But you never know what's going to happen.
Well, that was 21.
And teams get rid of them fast. I mean, they get rid of them fast and jettison them fast. Of course, those were the COVID years with Zach Wilson at quarterback when he goes number two overall. And but everybody wants it. Everybody wants the Mahomes. Everybody wants a game changer at quarterback. And, you know, sometimes it's a guy picked dead last in the draft, not like the 2021 draft class, the COVID draft class, the COVID quarterbacks.
Man, that was and like we both, me and you both at the time were like, Zach Wilson ain't it, bro.
He ain't it. And you know what, because he played at BYU and they had these games. They didn't play
nobody at all.
They played Coastal Carolina. They made the game during the middle of the week. Went and played it. Did not have great stats his junior year. His senior did. People were enamored by him. But that 2021 draft class, not good at the quarterback position. Really, they haven't been that good lately anyway, with even going back to Lamar Jackson when he was taking 30 seconds. It's like, what the hell are you doing, man? It's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson are the quarterbacks to get, but somebody's going to fail. And weird things do happen, like Brock Purdy, last pick in the draft, going to the Super Bowl. That one everybody whiffed on, including the 49ers throughout the draft.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, like his value had dropped considerably. Purdy was at one point going into the season, he was thought to be a first round pick, and then he fell just because he didn't quite play at the level that a lot of people were hoping for at Iowa State his final year there. And I think that's the biggest reason why he ended up falling.
Yeah, 2020 did have Burrow and Herbert, so I definitely like the 2020
class. Yeah, like
class.
You're good there. You've got Burrow. Tua's been
21.
Tua's
sucked.
Been pretty good. 21 was terrible. But like I think everyone who knew what the game was acknowledged that that was going to be a pretty bad draft because of COVID, because no combine, because you're not getting the ability to evaluate these guys as close up as you normally could. We all knew that that was going to be a lot of misses early because guys were not being evaluated the way that they normally would be, and so you were going to have some guys slip through the cracks. We knew that.
Aren't you lucky the Chiefs don't have to worry about that?
I don't think it's a first-round pick. Probably similar to George Pickens a couple of years ago. He'll probably be more in the mid-second. So it's really between Thomas and Worthy, I think.
I think the biggest debate that we've kind of seen with the draft is who the number two quarterback is behind Caleb Williams. A lot of people think it's Jaden Daniels. A lot of people are on Drake May. And J.J. McCarthy starting to make some headway there as well. Who you had Jaden Daniels going number two overall on your mock. Do you think he is the second best quarterback, or do you think it's more of a fit thing with the Commanders?
Yeah, it's still up in the air. I mean, to be honest, in my seven round mock that will come out next week, I may end up putting J.J. McCarthy there. And the reason I say that, one reason, is that if you think about where Adam Peters came from, the general manager, the Commanders, he came from San Francisco. And he saw what Brock Purdy did. And if one of these guys at the top reminds him of Brock Purdy, it's going to be J.J. McCarthy. So that's one aspect they can go at it. Now, Daniels would also be a nice fit in the system with Cliff Kingsbury. I think you would appreciate the quick delivery and
the dual threat aspect. Certainly he liked Kyler Murray when he was at Arizona. They made that move for him. And then Drake May, look, all three of these guys have their pros and cons, and you could talk yourself into any of them in that two spot. And then I think that's the key to the whole draft. Like the Commanders not only are going to set their future, their direction of their future, but also they're going to affect the futures of the Patriots and whoever ends up taking the other quarterback in there. And so it's really wide open at that spot.
Brock Bowers is a guy that I really like. It's almost the perfect fit for the Chiefs, and I don't see him sliding. I know he's been down there working out with Patrick Mahomes, catching footballs down there. I don't see him slipping. You had him going number 10 to the Jets. I think the Jets or the Broncos will grab him before the Bengals have a chance. I think the Bengals would definitely want Brock Bowers as well. Is there anybody like a Bowers that you could see sliding in this draft that we don't think they're going to slide, but somebody inevitably only slides?
Yeah, I mean, I think typically an edge rusher, Leiatu Latu, is one guy that probably go later than a lot of people think, just because of the neck injury and all that. And it's possible one or two of these tackles don't quite go as high as people think. Olufoshanu, for example, from Penn State, could go in the 2021 range because he's raw. Not as dominating as you would like, and not as athletic as you'd like. And I think he's one of these kind of guys that maybe drops down a little bit. Still could be a really, a solid player. But and then Fuaga from Oregon State, a lot of people, you can see him going early, but because he's kind of a guard, right tackle kind of guy, he may end up going in the 20s as well. So those are a couple of guys that I think maybe won't go as high as people think.
As far as there's kind of been like these crazy proposed trade offers in regards to like Kyler Murray and him potentially being offloaded to a team like, let's say, the Vikings. Where are you as far as the likelihood that the Cardinals could make a move to get rid of Kyler Murray, get rid of that contract, and take one of these younger quarterbacks there at fourth overall?
I'll believe it when I see it. I think they're still pretty invested in him. And honestly, even the fourth quarterback of this class is no sure thing. Now, if any team would do it, we've seen, I mean, it's different administration now, but, we've seen the Cardinals pick back-to-back first-round quarterbacks. But I think it's kind of a new thing. I think they stick with Murray yet and try to build around him, get the receiver, continue to build the offensive line, and really build around him for the next couple of years and see what he can do.
Chad, when you think about this draft in Detroit, what are we going to know it for? Is this going to be trade crazy? I mean, we just the tip of the iceberg here with teams making moves and jockeying for positions. Is this going to be an all-out trade first round?
I don't – I'm preparing the 7-round mock, and I'm sort of going the opposite. I think there'll be some, but, sometimes the trades just don't happen. The more you hear about teams like Arizona and the Chargers and all these other teams wanting to move, but they don't make those moves in advance, like these moves have been happening in advance quite regularly the last few years, the more you hear about it and nothing happens – it could mean that very few happen. So I think it may actually happen. If you remember the Tua and Herbert, that trade, all those quarterbacks were there, but nobody made any moves to get them. They just let them kind of fall in line. So I might go that direction in the final mock and just say, hey, teams are willing to wait it out and see what happens. And then have a little more action in the middle and late part of the first round, trying to get those receivers or offensive linemen or the couple of edge rushers that are of value.
Chad, we always enjoy your work. Always enjoy when you join our program during the draft. It's at Chad_Reuter. That's Reuter. It's Reuter. Looks like Reuter, but it's Reuter. Reuter. Yeah. He's an NFL Network analyst. Of course, NFL Network has coverage of the draft, the whole thing, April 25th through 27th. Chad, Always enjoy talking to you. I can't wait for the 7-round mock to see where you're going to go, but always enjoy your work, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me on.
There you go, Chad Ryder, right there. We'll discuss Chad Ryder. Look at that. I do have a couple quarterback questions I want to bring up to you, Chris, and get your opinion. We'll do that next.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday mornings starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got the rap patrol on the...
And welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Nocera, the 610 Sports Radio Draft Special. Be doing it again next Thursday, same time, 6 to 9, be a week closer. 1 week from the draft, or 2 weeks from the draft right now. So be 1 week then, and of course, a lot of live draft coverage, including 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Party at the Landing in Liberty on Thursday, April 25th, brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. I encourage people to fill out their draft pick sheets there. Winner will receive $610 plus autographed Chiefs merchandise. All the 610 staff will be in attendance. Chris and I and the Character Concerns Character Concerns crew will be doing the broadcast for this. And the way the NFL draft works, you get 10 minutes to make your selection in the first round. And then it starts being different from there. The second and third rounds on Friday. Rounds 4-7 on Saturday. Teams get 7 minutes to make picks in the second round, 5 minutes for regular or compensatory picks in rounds 3-6, 4 minutes in round 7, where the Chiefs pick 221 in the seventh round, their first pick in the seventh round. All right, quarterbacks, Chris, you know someone's going to fail. Someone always fails at quarterback. It just happens. I mean, you look back at that 2020 draft class with quarterbacks and
man,
maybe Trevor Lawrence, maybe,
maybe,
but you never know what's going to happen.
Well, teams, that was 21.
And teams get rid of them fast. I mean, they get rid of them fast and jettison them fast. Of course, those were the COVID years with Zach Wilson at quarterback when he goes number two overall. And but everybody wants it. Everybody wants the Mahomes. Everybody wants a game changer at quarterback. And, you know, sometimes it's a guy picked dead last in the draft, not like the 2021 draft class, the COVID draft class, the COVID quarterbacks.
Man, that was...
And like we both, me and you both at the time were like, Zach Wilson ain't it, bro.
He ain't it. And you know what? Because he played at BYU and they had these games. They didn't play
nobody.
They played Coastal Carolina. They made the game during the middle of the week. Went and played it. Did not have great stats his junior year. His senior did. People were enamored by him. But that 2021 draft class, not good at the quarterback position. Really, they haven't been that good lately anyway, with even going back to Lamar Jackson when he was taking 32nd. It's like, what the hell are you doing, man? It's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson are the quarterbacks to get, but somebody's going to fail. And weird things do happen, like Brock Purdy, last pick in the draft, going to the Super Bowl. That one everybody whiffed on, including the 49ers throughout the draft.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, like, his value had dropped considerably. Purdy was, at one point going into the season, he was thought to be a first-round pick, and then he fell just because he didn't quite play at the level that a lot of people were hoping for at Iowa State his final year there, and I think that's the biggest reason why he ended up falling.
Yeah, 2020 did have Burrow and Herbert, so I definitely like the 2020
class. Yeah, like you're good there. You've got Burrow, Tua's been
21.
Tua's been pretty good. 21 was terrible. But like I think everyone who knew what the game was acknowledged that was going to be a pretty bad draft because of COVID, because no combine, because you're not getting the ability to evaluate these guys as close up as you normally could. We all knew that was going to be a lot of misses early because guys were not being evaluated the way that they normally would be, and so you were going to have some guys slip through the cracks. We knew that.
Aren't you lucky the Chiefs don't have to worry about that?
I mean, yeah, it's really
just
nice.
The fact that you got Mahomes
is really
nice. You
can
build around them. Just a couple guys on this team before Mahomes and Jones and Kelsey, then Butker and Winchester. So two specialists, one on offense, one on defense that predated Mahomes. They have flipped this roster, and Brett Veach has done it through the draft.
Yeah, and that's how you have to do it. In today, I mean, you got to find your quarterback, and then you got to make sure you build around him, just because the way that these NFL salaries are accelerating in value for each of the top five positions, I mean, you have to win in the draft. And if you don't draft well, it's so hard to win. You could get one. You could do what the Rams did, and you could just put all the chips on the table in for 1 year, and it worked out, and you won the Super Bowl. But then you look at them now, and subsequent 2 years, you win one playoff game and in one appearance. And right now, your best player on your team just retired, and now your roster's kind of in limbo because you don't have that many stars on it. So the draft is so important to maintaining championship contention in the league. And if you're not winning in the draft, you're destined to fall off.
It's basically the season begins. Six is the record for quarterbacks in the first round. You're not going to see it this year.
Maybe five.
I do think the fact that Quinn Ewers is going back to Texas, it would have been five in the first round. I do think four, unless Michael Penix makes his way up. But, I mean, it's buyer beware. Listen, the guy's a stud, but he does have four season-ending injuries, which definitely has. Now, this was at Indiana before he went to Washington.
Right.
But that has to be considered, and the fact he's got three receivers that are first and second-round picks.
I think more so the injuries will probably play a bigger concern than the receivers. I mean, we didn't let the fact that Joe Burrow had two NFL wide receivers affect his draft stock, you know. So I don't think that's going to be in play. I do believe, though, that, like, A, I don't think Quinn Ewers would have been a first-round pick. I think that's the reason why he went back. And I think for Penix, yeah, I think it's the injuries. I think the injuries are going to be the primary thing that kind of hurts his draft stock. I mean, you watch him on tape. You watch him playing in those big games, and he looked really good. You see the arm strength. He's a guy that can sit in the pocket and can make throws. I mean, yeah, he's got things to work on, but all these quarterbacks have things to work on. But I think he's got all the tools. It's just you are worried about him having those serious injuries and that derailing a first-round pick at the quarterback position. Nobody wants to miss at that position. So I understand it. So I think there's a very good chance he ends up being a early to mid-second-round guy.
The record, 1983, six taken. John Elway, Todd Blackledge, of course, Chiefs get Blackledge, Jim Kelly, Tony Eason, Ken O'Brien, and Dan Marino. Did you know the Royals actually drafted, I think, what, Elway and Marino?
Yeah.
Like, the Royals had really consistent drafting quarterbacks.
They did, man. They have done a better job at drafting quarterbacks than the Chiefs in the 80s.
I mean, they have. They've completely done a great job at that. Coming up next, though, a local angle. Arrowhead Pride's lead analyst, Ron Kopp, joins us next.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday mornings starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.